Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Today, we study Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. There the Apostle Paul writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Please be seated. Dear friends in Jesus, the very first words of our scripture reading for today should make us think. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How are we going to know what our attitude should be? Only if we understand what the attitude of Christ Jesus was. And then the words go on to describe that attitude of Jesus. First, we need to pay attention to how Jesus is referred to. He's called Christ Jesus. The word Christ means anointed. So the attitude of the anointed Jesus. In Acts 10:38, a different apostle, the apostle Peter, said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. In John 3, John the Baptist says about Jesus that on him, on Jesus, God pours out the Spirit without measure. So when we think of Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus, he's being referred to especially according to his humanity, his human nature. He is both God and man at the same time. That's why there are two candles on the altar, to remind us of the two natures of Christ, his true divinity and his true humanity. And what does this mean, that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power according to his human nature? It means that God gave him, according to his humanity, rights of God. The same rights of God that he had as God. You recall that Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." As God, he could not be given all authority because he always had all authority. But as man, he was given all authority also. So as God, he had all authority simply because of who he is as God. And as man, he had all authority as a gift by the anointing as the Christ. You recall what the angel said to the shepherds. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." When you put that announcement in its simplest form, the angel said, "The Lord is born." God is man. And this man, Jesus, is God. If you and I had been present with Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, what would we have seen? We would have seen Jesus in his humanity shining with the authority, the honor of God. But most of the time, people did not see Jesus that way, did they? They saw him that way every time he healed someone. They saw him that way when he stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee. They saw him that way when he told Lazarus to come out of the tomb. But most of the time, they didn't see Jesus that way. Your attitude should be the same as that of the anointed Jesus. And now we see that attitude. Who, being in the form of God, being the anointed one, having rights of God as man given to him, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, because he is the anointed one. It was given to him. But what did he do with it? He made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. You'll notice we have three words which mean pretty much the same thing here. Form, likeness, and the next one, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. In order to save the world of sinners, in order to save these sinners, Jesus did not make full and continuous use of those anointed rights of God as man. He laid aside their use most of the time. Or as it says here, he emptied himself of their use most of the time. And why? So that he could save us. So that he, in the desert and throughout his life, could be tempted with our temptations and conquer them for us perfectly, so that he could live the holy lives that we haven't lived in our place, so that he could suffer all the punishments of our sins during his life, and the eternal punishments on the cross during those 3 hours of darkness. You probably remember that we call that period of time Jesus' state of humiliation. That's what saved us. Now, what was Jesus' attitude? Christ Jesus willingly, and pay attention to that word, willingly. Remember he said, "Your will, not mine, be done," in Gethsemane? Willingly gave up the full and continuous use of his anointed rights of God as man, the Christ Jesus, in order to save the world. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Do you have an anointing? Yes, you do. We're told in 1 John chapter 2 that we also have an anointing from the Holy One. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we have an anointing. We're told he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Perhaps you remember what Peter said on the day of Pentecost to the crowds who were crushed in their hearts, felt terrors of conscience after he told them that they had crucified the Lord and Christ. He said to them, in answer to their question, what should we do? In their terrors of conscience, he said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Has he called you? Yes, he has. Is that promise for you? Yes, it is. At your baptism, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself was poured out on you generously through Jesus Christ, your Savior, as Paul says to Titus. You have an anointing. And what do you receive from the Holy Spirit? You receive spiritual gift after spiritual gift. You are justified in Christ Jesus. You are children of God. Your citizenship is right now, even though you're sitting on pews in this building, your citizenship is right now in heaven. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemning, because you are justified in Christ. Heaven is your home. How should your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus? Let's change the words and substitute them. The Christian, we Christians, willingly give up, lay aside for now, the full and continuous use of our anointed rights as children of God in order to bring Jesus' salvation to the world. Let's do the comparing again. Jesus Christ willingly gave up the full and continuous use of his anointed rights of God as man in order to save the world. We Christians willingly give up the full and continuous use of our anointed rights as children of God in order to bring Jesus' salvation to the world. Think of it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And yet every day God reminds us of our sins, doesn't he? But there is no condemnation. Every day he lets these common earthly curses happen to us. The earthly curses that remind us of our sinfulness, even though there is no condemnation to us. Just as Jesus took upon himself those common earthly curses, hunger, thirst, exhaustion, physical pain, emotional distress, and the King of Terrors, death, physical death. Think of it. Jesus has died our death for us, and yet very likely God will let us die anyway. Why? So that willingly we have opportunity to bring Jesus' salvation to the world. How is that? Well, for starters, let's look at some examples in the Bible. Job. Did Job say, those dirty, rotten Sabaeans? Did Job curse the Chaldeans? Did Job sit around and whine and say, why me? No. Job said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And he served as an example for us. He, Job, in his willing giving up the full and continuous use of his anointed rights as a child of God, shows us our Savior. May the name of the Lord be praised. Or think of the Apostle Paul when he was in jail in Philippi. Did he sit around and mope and say, boy, that sure hurt when they whipped me. How could God let that happen to me? Here he lets me go around and heal people and do miracles in his name to confirm the word of Christ, and then he lets this happen to me. How could that be? No. At midnight, he and Silas were singing God's praises in jail so that the jailer heard them, but wasn't paying a lot of attention to the message until the earthquake came. Then he paid attention to the message. Or the Apostle Paul, what does he say here at the end of this very chapter? He says, even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. He was suffering. He was in prison when he wrote this. He says, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to spend time here on earth before God takes me to heaven in order to share the gospel with you, even though that means I have all of these sufferings, the daily ones, the ordinary ones, and the extraordinary ones. Makes no difference. What did Peter and the other apostles say when they were beaten in Acts chapter 5? They rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Well, those are some examples of Christians. Our big example, of course, is who though? Christ. So, as we live our daily lives here on earth, sins forgiven, justified in Christ, no condemnation, because we are really, truly justified. Let us not be like the apostles were at first on the day of Jesus' resurrection. Do you remember what it says? They stubbornly refused to believe what the women had told them. Let us not stubbornly refuse to believe that Jesus empowers us to be Christ-like. Let us not stubbornly refuse to believe that we are anointed by the Spirit. Let us not stubbornly refuse to believe that Jesus leaves us here on earth for a while with only one purpose in mind, that we praise him and show his salvation to the world in how we think and what we say and what we do. He could have taken us to heaven the moment we came to faith in Jesus, but he didn't. That's because he has work for us to do. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.